But I'm believing, God, that we're going to leave here changed by the power of His might, because of His grace and anointing that is here. The anointing of God is the yoke-breaking, burden-removing power of God. I mean, that's what the anointing does. It removes burdens. It breaks yokes. It lifts things off of you. Hallelujah. And the grace of God is the ability of God in our life to do it. So if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be, worry is your enemy. Worry is your enemy. Worry is actually an absence of faith. You know, I'm talking about believers. Now the world, people in the world, they're going to worry. They don't have much choice but to worry. I mean, they don't have no God and no hope like we do. They don't have the supernatural to draw on like we do. They don't have, just like the song that we sang, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is His people's strength. This faith that I have, it didn't come from the world. The Bible says, every man has been given the measure of faith. And then the Bible also says that He takes us from faith to faith. In another place, it says we'll go from one level of glory to another level of glory. I mean, we're a people that when we get born again, if we follow the Lord, if we seek the Lord, we will continually aggress in faith. We will grow in faith. We will grow in grace. We will grow in the anointing. We will grow in wisdom. We have knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Knowledge is this: you find out things. But wisdom is knowing when and how to apply knowledge in the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. But worry is your enemy. And you know, when I read that in the Bible where Jesus said this years ago, don't worry about your life. You know, and I'm like at that time, I worried about everything. I worried about losing my wife. I worried about having to go to work. I worried about bills. I worried. A lot of times worry comes by meditating on the wrong things. Meditating on what if your bill ain't paid. Meditating on what if you don't get healed. Meditating, having these thoughts will cause you to worry. Got some standing in amongst some preachers one time, and I'm not downing anybody. I mean, you gotta choose yourself how you gonna believe. You gotta choose yourself what you gonna believe, and you gotta choose in yourself that you're either gonna have victory or not. Because victory has already been paid for through the shed blood of Jesus. When He hung on that cross, He said, "It is finished." I mean, He sealed victory. He sealed healing. He sealed deliverance and victory for us on the cross. And He said, "It is finished." But we were standing, you know, and they were talking about, you know, worried about the church and worried about their merit, this and that. You know, and I'm standing there listening to them, and I'd been working on what the Scripture says. And I'm standing there, and I said, "Well, you know," I said, "I don't worry about nothing." One of them looked at me and said, "Preacher, you got to worry about something." I said, "No, I don't worry about nothing. Jesus said, don't worry about nothing." I said, "If Jesus told me not to worry about nothing, reckon He'd give me grace not to worry." Worry has left my life. I said, "It tries to come to me, but I just won't take it." Worry gives place to the devil. Aubrey got a friend in school, and they got into a little squabble, whatever the case might be. And so she's worried. She starts thinking, "Oh, well, she might not like me anymore." You know, she's telling me about it. And I told her, I said, "Don't worry." She's worrying. She's 8. That incident's causing her to worry that they're not going to lock her. Some of y'all kids in school and all of that stuff, you don't have to worry. Well, what if they don't lock me? Don't worry. It don't matter. Jesus, we have been accepted in the Beloved. I was sitting eating yesterday and some things were brought up, and when I got done, I wasn't popular. I wasn't ugly. But I wasn't popular, you know. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm not going to compromise in my heart what the Bible says about us Christians. And, you know, I thought, oh, what are they going to think? I'm not going to worry about it, right? The Bible says for me and you to speak the truth in love. And don't worry about it. Monty and them going through a big battle. If I talk about you, Monty. All right, then. This, you know, you ain't paying me enough not to. No. They're going through a great big trial in their life several years ago. And it looked like they were going to be on the streets. And you know who had been there before me? I'd never been there. And everybody, it looked like everybody going to have to live on the streets. Travis and all of them. I done been there. So look, when you learn not to worry and God delivers you, then when people come to you, then you're like, I know what to do. I know what he did for me. I know what he did, and I had to stop worrying. Because worry gives place to doubt. See, anytime you see worry, doubt and unbelief is there. And Jesus said in the Bible, he said that he couldn't do no mighty works because of unbelief. He went to his own town and he couldn't do no mighty, he only could heal a few folk. I'm not going to be one of those, I'm not going to be in that bunch where he can't do nothing for me. Right? By worrying. I can't ever remember hearing a sermon on don't worry my whole life until God began to deal with me and show me that worry is why I was having so much trouble in my life, because worry is the absence of faith. And faith, worry is your enemy. Worry gives place to the devil. Well, anyhow, Monty, I mean, when you're going through stuff, you want answers. You know, you want to hear something that is going to comfort you when you're going through hardship sometimes. And Satan is going to, when you're going through, he wants you to worry. Because faith moves mountains. The Bible says if you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, that you will speak to that mountain and it'll have to move. I mean, think about that. So your enemy, Satan, is wanting you to turn loose of faith that's going to get your breakthrough. So anyways, they're going, now you want to meet with me. Okay. So I go up there, and I mean, Monty goes through, and we talk for 20, 30 minutes and everything, and then he gets in his van, and I told him, now go do what you've been trained to do. That's what I told him. I didn't tell him the house thing's going to be okay. I don't know about all that. That's up to you. I can tell you everything's going to be okay in your life, but if you don't walk in faith, that's not a guarantee. Come on, somebody, there's not a guarantee. And so Monty, I heard later, that kind of upset him. Kinda. I bet he was something else. I mean, I told Travis a while ago, I said, hand him the microphone down. I was being funny because I didn't know if you're going to reach high and get it or not. He's a little bitty guy, but I bet you he was a little Tasmanian back there. I bet, you know, them little red-headed guys, they can be something else, I'm sure. Thank God he's tamed you down. Thank God we let him tame us down, huh? We let him bring humility to us. It's a gift from God, humility. We just take it. We take it and Jesus says, come unto me, you that are laboring heavy burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy. He said, learn how I am. He said, I'm humble and gentle. He said, then you'll find rest for your weary soul. See, we're not supposed to be weary Christians. You're not supposed to be dreading work tomorrow. Oh, God. The Bible, we're supposed to get up when we do, and we're supposed to say, glory to God, I got a job, Lord. And you said you would work, you would bless the works of my hands. Thank you, Lord. See, you got to change that mentality over to a victory and not a dread so that you can enjoy your life. Don't just work to enjoy your life when you retire. We're supposed to go every day enjoying being husbands, enjoying being wives, enjoying our jobs, enjoying people we're around, enjoying church, enjoying our fellowship with God. Not just in this battle all the time. Satan wants you to make us think that we're just in a battle all the time, expecting the next bad thing to happen. See, if you worry, that's what you're going to be. You're going to live and you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be joyous. You can't worry and have joy. They don't mix. They're like water and oil. You can't have worry and faith. They don't mix. In the society, in the world, and in the families, they want to tell you, you've got to worry. Me and my brother goes last week, or I think it was, we bought a bull together, a little bull, about 700 pounds. And he's been in a 100-acre pasture all summer, you know, not around anybody or, you know. And so they get him in there and they round him up. And anyhow, he gets him in the trailer and he's about to tear the trailer up, you know, wanting out. So he gets him up to where we're putting the bull. And because the little bull is not raising Cain, he's scared. He's wanting out. He's wanting to go back to mama. He's wanting to go back to where's familiar. I mean, he's not mad and mean. He's wanting to go back home. You know? And so, he turns him out before he calls the cows. Well, that bull left out of there, and he just run clean over in the pasture, right out of the pasture fence, and gone. I mean, just left. He's got no reason to stay there. He's hunting mama. He's hunting family over there. Well, you know, the next day, I mean, I started talking to my brother, and, oh, this is awful. Yeah, I looked at him, and I said, don't worry about it. But, I said, no, don't worry about the bull. I said, see, it ain't the bull. I said, it's the money that you spent. That you're going to lose. See how you're worrying? Didn't sleep all night. I went right to sleep. Had mine. I'll just sow him. Don't the Bible say, give and it shall be given unto you good? See, we're smarter than the devil. We're wiser than people that's without God. We have principles in God's Word that we don't have to worry. And so I told him, I said, don't worry. I said, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. He said, well, so what if somebody locks them in their pen and going to keep it? I said, well, we got the Lord. Come on, somebody. I said, we got the Lord. I said, don't you know he knows where that bull's at? Don't you know he knows how to cause that bull to go in an honest man's pasture? Don't you know? Well, see, that's what you do. Now I'm not worrying. And he said, oh, well, he's a good Christian too. You can be a good Christian and worry, but you're not supposed to be worrying. Well, I don't know about my kids. Don't worry about your kids. I don't know if my people are going to make it to heaven. Don't worry about them. Don't worry. Lift them up to the Lord. The Bible says if you'll serve him, he'll save your whole house. Come on, somebody. It's in there. Why? I ain't going to worry about them. I'm just not going to worry. Well, I told him, I said, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I said, he's going to show up somewhere. I said, the bull can't run forever. He's going to get tired. He's going to get hungry. He's going to get lonely. I said, but not that. We got the Holy Spirit. We got faith now. So I started calling my bull back home. See, you got to talk to your mountain. The Bible says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou whatever. Jesus said it. And see, because we are carnal, just natural beings, it's hard for us to transition over in and walk in that supernatural like Jesus brought us back the Holy Spirit and gave us to walk in it. But you got to lay down that carnality. The Bible says that our natural mind is an enemy to God. It's an enemy. That's why we have to renew our mind. That's how we have to start thinking different. And you know, Tracy used to have mental problems. I come in, this is before we got saved now, Johnny. I come in, she had mental issues. You know, and it wasn't me. I wasn't even there. I come in, she's in the closet one time burning a candle. And I'm like, weirdo. Go in there and I'm like, what's wrong with you? You weirdo or what? I mean, she's 14, 15 maybe. Maybe somewhere there, 15. We got married real young. But anyways, so I go and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get a book. I'm going to get her some books. So I go get first grade books for her. Oh, yeah, the crying. I couldn't stand that, the crying, man. Gosh. Who wants sugar with tears running in you? Come on, man. Greet me at the door. Stop that crying. You know. But she was oppressed. She was just an oppressed person. Hey, with spirits behind it and all that. Well, anyhow, I go get her Dick and Jane from first grade. She starts to get her reading books. She gets better. After I get born again, I think, man, if that worked with a natural book, man, I got the Word of God now. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Goes down dividing asunder bone marrow, is a discerner of the heart and thoughts, intents of the heart and thoughts. It'll help you discern when these thoughts are trying to bring you down. You know, so we started renewing our mind, you know. So if you're having mental problems, you don't need a hospital. You're in the center right now. And it's not a hospital. Church is not a hospital like Facebook tells you. Facebook tells you, and Christians share it, sounds good, sounds spiritual, that the church is a hospital. No, the church is not a hospital. The church is a transforming center. It is a training center. It changes you. It don't just give you a little dose of medicine. It transforms you. When you got the anointing on an assembly, that transforms you. It will transform you. Then you take the Word of God and you're under that covering. That anointing that ministry has, it's not a hospital. This is not a hospital. And then you take the Word of God at home. If you've got mental problems, you take the Word of God at home. And you get that Bible out. And you get in there and you find where it says who you are. He says, you are a child of the Most High. He says, you are the apple of God's eye. He says, you are the redeemed of the Lord. And says, you ought to be saying so. He says that you are kings and priests unto God. And if you'll take that word and you'll get it in your, renew your mind, the Holy Spirit will take it and quicken it in your spirit, man. And I'm telling you, you will have no need for mental whatever I'm trying to say. Yeah, mental help. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, you got that Bible, you're going to get brainwashed. And I thought, oh, my God, going to get brainwashed. I started thinking about it, and I hadn't been saved in about a year because I was talking to somebody, and I said, oh, I got to meditate on that word day and night because I'd read Joshua over there where God told Joshua, meditate on the word day and night, then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll have good success. See, as long as he meditated on the word, he wasn't worrying about leading them millions of people. Y'all kids in school, if you try to fit in, school will warp you up. If you try to find the right clique, somebody that's going to like you, if you'll just be yourself in God, God will hook you up with loyal people, loyal teenagers, loyal companions. You won't feel like you are less than. You won't feel like if somebody would just let you, you know, be a part of their circle. I don't want a part of people's circle. I want to be in God's circle. See, these things, you're worried about that. You teenagers don't know to worry about it. What if them guys don't like me? They just don't know what they're missing out on. They'll find out later. They'll be like, God, what a knockout. Oh, I should have been paying attention to that. My little hottie left me now. You're looking good now. This stuff's happening, man. My little grandbabies are going to come up, and Papa, and I know Daddy them and all that, but God, I'm teaching them who they are, you know, and teaching her, you know, these little friends don't want to play with you. Don't go out and be sad, baby. They just don't know what they're missing because you are the apple of God's eye. But God, Papa wants to play with you. I know who you are. Well, what am I doing? I'm getting them up out of that. I can't be happy in school. Papa, get there. That's Satan on our kids. It's all funny when we tell about it, you know, but that's him trying to get them to worry, and get them their identity in the crowd. Your identity is in God. See, if the crowd goes, your identity goes. If your job is your identity, if you lose your job, you lose your identity. If that's who you are. If money is what makes you who you are, if you lose your money, you've lost you. But if it's in God, identifying with Jesus, identifying with His life, identifying with the Word of God. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but this will never pass away. I pray for the teenagers, pray God, but I mean, I'm not scared to preach this to them. Don't sit there whining in school. The Bible says if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Be friendly. Don't have attitudes with them when they get upset with you. Just be friendly. You sit there in school. Glory to God. You know, and I'd be like, no, I meant that where you get mad. I know it, but I just can't. The joy of the Lord, my strength. I heard in church I ain't supposed to worry about you. I heard in church I ain't got to have a clique, and I feel it now. I don't have to have one. So adios, amigos. Enjoy your ride. Without me, you're going to be miserable. I mean, don't sit there. Mama, I won't quit school because they wouldn't. Don't do that. You're not a crybaby. Walked in a while ago and I told Damien, I said, you've been here a while. I said, you were in diapers when you got here. And he said, I wasn't in diapers. Johnny said, you still are. He's a fine young man. Look at him. Woo, some girl's going to be. Woo. He better be glad I'm not a young teenage girl. My God, I'd be getting his number. Look at him, Hollywood. Look at that smile. Looks like he ought to be over Surf City, California somewhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I've got to raise him up. Hallelujah. I've got to let him be a door greeter when he wanted to quit. And I said, nah. I need a break. No, man. You know, I'll pray about it. Three or four months later, did you pray about it? Yeah, I ain't got no answer yet. Just keep on going. He's still door greeting. 8 years later, baby. Yes, that's a good job. Told him the other day, I said, you, when they walk in, you set the pace for them. That door greeter. I mean, look at that face. Whoo! Walk in, that big old smile. Does his hair back, man. How could you not feel good and come on in here? And that one right there, they called the law on him. He's a wanderer. He comes to church. They get here an hour and a half early. I don't know why, but they love church, I guess. Come on in here an hour and a half early, Monty and them. He wanders. He wanders around the property. So he wandered down there on the building, and they called the law. Somebody called the law. Somebody's standing on the porch. So the law comes down here, and he's almost they almost took him to jail. He almost become a convicted, what do you call it? Praise the Lord. You see, these generation of kids, and you, young lady, see, God's going to use y'all to be signs to this next generation. And Satan wants your identity in how you feel at school. People will make you feel awful. Not just in school. They'll make you feel awful. Aubrey told me a while ago, Papa, I'm in trouble. I said, what do you mean you're in trouble? Why? Because Aiden keeps going telling Mama on me. They back there at this Sunday school. And I said, I think I heard her tell Aiden, stop telling on her. I said, that don't sound like you're in trouble to me. They're riding the go-kart yesterday. See, I don't worry about nothing by choice. I don't worry. I start my building, Tracy's, G's, Playhouse, whatever it is. And it almost tried to worry me to start that building. Because I done the swimming pool, and I built the wall, started it twice, 5 hours into it. She sits on the back porch meditating on Jesus. I come in and heard Jesus been talking, and then she noticed she don't like it like that. I'm like, Jesus must not have been on this back porch. And so I took it down twice, and I thought, third time's a charm. I thought, if she does this again, I'm going to get my bulldozer. And I'm going to come out here and I'm going to tear this backyard up. I'm going to level it out. I'm going to get rid of it. So when I start the building, I told her I was going to start it. And I said, now I don't want no trouble.
What do you mean?
Like that didn't happen about the pool. I guess she believes in the scripture, forgetting those things behind, pressed toward the mark. So I told her, I said, I just don't want no trouble. I said, what I'm doing, I said, I'm trying to cover the base before I get started. And so the Lord said, what are you worried about? Oh, here we go with this Jesus thing again. Worried. I'm worried. I'm worried she ain't going to like it. I'm worried I'm going to mess it up. I'm worried I can't do. You got to not worry. The Lord asked me one time, he said, how many car payments has worry paid for you? That's a no-brainer. Worry does not generate money. Work does. Believing does. Well, I went on and I ministered to my brother. I'm back on that story. Ministered to my brother all week. I mean, all week. You know, I'd tell him, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. He wanted to say, how can you say that, man? We just lost the money. Winners don't lose. Quitters, they lose all the time. We're winners. We've been made winners. We've been made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We've been made victorious over everything that comes our way. And to obtain that victory, all we got to do is don't worry and stay in faith and believe God. And so, we go on, you know, and a whole week goes by. Nothing. He goes around. I tell him, I said, go around all the way around to Brooksville and just give everybody your number. Tell them what's to happen. Like that. Well, a whole week goes by. I'm thinking, good Lord, this bull could be in Florida by now. A week, Johnny. You know. I mean, I could walk a long way in a week. So I'm thinking, man, you know, I ain't heard nothing. Well, Friday, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I pull up and it was Friday because he was helping me do some work there. And his boy was with him. And his boy, he brought that bull up. I said, have you heard anything of the bull? Nah, he said, his boy said, there ain't nobody honest out here. He said, somebody done put a tag in the ear of that bull and put him in the pasture. Like that, when he did, it just, I said, what about Jesus? I said, I'm not dependent on man. My faith ain't in man. My faith is in God returning what I got. God making it happen. I said, he will show up. He's going to show up somewhere. I looked at Glenn and I said, I done called him back home. Well, you know what? I got a phone call last night at 8 o'clock. My brother, he said, yeah, I got some good news. I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah, he's in a pasture over here. Praise God, the guy called me up. He said he hadn't checked his cows in nearly a week. He went and checked them. He said, and I noticed I had one in there that was way bigger than mine. You know, and that's what I told my brother. He said, well, how are they going to know if they got a bunch of cows? I said, listen. I said, any man knows their cows. I said, that one's going to stick out to them like a sore thumb. It's not going to come up like it does when he feeds the other ones. It's going to be a little skittish. They going to notice. That farmer's going to say, something wrong with that cow. See, because when my cow is not coming up, she's something wrong with her. She's either in labor or she's sick. And so it stuck out. And he told me, he says, oh, praise God. I shouldn't even have worried, should I? No, you should not have worried. You wasted your time worrying. You lost sleep. You didn't feel good the next day. And I could tell because of the way you're working. Worry will cause you to be sick inwardly. Cause you not to feel good, not to get a good night's sleep. See, you need to quote over yourself when you go to bed. You need to say, God, I thank you, Lord. Your word says you give your beloved sweet sleep. Aubrey has nightmares sometimes. But I helped her get rid of them. She don't hardly have them anymore. She told me the other day, she said, Papa, you think if I wake up that I can get in your bed? I said, you ain't gonna wake up. He gives your beloved sweet sleep. I said, it knocked you out like, you know, sleep medicine. Okay. I said, but if you was to, come on in there and just don't even wake Papa up. Just get in the bed. They spend the night with us every Tuesday night. Well, went in there. Aiden's in there snoring. That boy snores. Have y'all heard him snore? He snores. He snores. You're just hanging off the bed a little bit. She's sound asleep and her nose sticking out. I thought the word works. Waking up all during, for several years. Sometimes you got to take that word and work on it. And I mean work on it and just keep working on it. Keep taking that, just chipping away at whatever is in the way of the will of God. What is the will of God for you? It's for you to be healed. What's the will of God for you? For you to be strong and courageous. What's the will of God? For you to be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the fruit of your, blessed is your cattle. That's the will of God. Now, when you know the will of God, then you go after the will of God. It's the will of God that our kids be strong in the Lord. They have confidence in their self in God. I told Travis one time, I said, you don't need no friends in school. Dad, you're just an old dad. I said, no. I said, friends most time going to get you. Your feelings are going to be hurt half the time. I mean, you know, you ain't going to feel like you're being treated right and blah, blah, blah. But see, when we come up here in the kingdom, then we got hearts like God. So we're aware of one another's feelings, right? They're not out in the world. It's not happening. I mean, I had long hair, but I wasn't trying to fit in school. I wanted Teresa. I could care less about school. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. That's not smart. Straight A's. Every one of y'all should believe God for straight A's in school. Straight A's. I tell Aubrey all the time, straight A's, baby. You can make straight A's.
Well, so-and-so. No.
I said, I'm not talking about so-and-so. I'm talking about you. Be the best you can be in school. Excel. Study. Don't be drug out with all of the rest of them, you know. You pay attention in school. Make straight A's. You know, when she gets that report card at the end of the year, it's victory time. Oh, we're going to celebrate. I'm going to start giving her some money. Every report card. Oh, that'll get her. She thinks she's got another loose tooth. She wants to lose more teeth, honey. That girl goes to Walmart when she loses a tooth. And I didn't teach her about the tooth fairy. I said, it ain't no tooth fairy. That's Papa's money. Papa's the tooth fairy. You know, put it on the pillow and let the tooth fairy come. You go in there and slip it out. That's not true, is it? To say that the tooth fairy came. That's not true. I thought, there ain't no way that an imaginary dude is going to get credit for what I'm doing. No, I told her, I am the tooth fairy, baby. So I asked her, last tooth was loose. I said, hey, baby, I said, what do you think this one's worth? She said, I think $20. She's eight. I said, $20? I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, look, this thing ain't even fair. I said, I have bought every tooth that come out of your head and gave you the money, and you gave the tooth to mama. I said, your mama got my teeth I bought. Which I was just playing with her, you know. See how funny this is? We need to enjoy life. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your grandkids. And y'all kids, honor your father and mother. Honor them. Honor your grandparents. You know, I mean, help them at home. Honor them. The Bible says, see, because God's looking at you. God's looking at you, and God's saying, be a doer of my word and not a hearer. That way I can give you the results. You think it's just for adults. I'm teaching my 8-year-old granddaughter and 5-year-old grandson right now to honor God and to honor his mother, their mother and father. Not to get mad and be angry at your parents. Don't argue. Now, it ain't working yet, but it's okay. I'm going to keep driving it home. I'm not going to back off because they've not got it yet. Why? Because I love them and I want them to be blessed of the Lord, that they have no idea why I'm doing it. It seems like rules and regulations to them, and Dad and them ain't fair, and I would like to come live at Papa's house. You would not like to live at Papa's house. Papa has you one night a week and then life sets in after that. Right? You get to enjoy my pool, and I cleaned it all out for you. But if you live with Papa, you would be cleaning the pool. And then I'm going to swim in it afterwards. So I'm not really doing it. They don't even know what I'm doing. So y'all teenagers, y'all young guys, you know, honor your father and mother. The Bible says that is the first commandment that God give you with promise. Take the garbage out and don't complain. Gosh, we're quiet. Anyways, Travis has never, he is 31. I thought he was 32. Oh, Beth's older than he is. She's up on him, boy. Got a year up on him. 6 months, 8 months. He must have listened to that song, Older Women Are. Y'all know it. These teenagers don't know that song. That's back in the old school stuff. But honor your mother and father. Honor your elders. You know, if you don't think they understand, don't let that work on you. Don't let Satan make you worry about that. You just cast that over on the Lord and you say, well, God, your word says to honor them. Your word says to honor it, God, and I don't like it, Lord, and I don't think they're right, Lord. And all you can tell the Lord what you think. He knows it anyways. But you just tell the Lord, but I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to honor them. And you know what? God's grace comes on you, and God's favor comes on you. And your life will act, you will actually feel better about yourself, about your life, about your future. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. God's going to prosper y'all. Travis, one time he told me, he's about 17, I guess. When I get 18, I'm getting out of here. I'm moving out of here. I want out of here. You know, and I'm like, he don't even know what he's saying. You know, and I'm telling the Lord, I'm going down the road, and I'm like, Lord, what's his hurry? It's not that bad here. I live with Teresa too. And I'm not leaving. I'm being funny. How bad can it be, man? You got me here. And the Lord spoke to me. Travis is 31 years old, and he's never screamed at me. He has never raised his voice to me, and I whooped him one time. And that was because he bit me on the belly at 5. That's called honor. But the reason why is because of God, number one. But I honored my mother and father. And the Bible says that you will reap what you sow, right? I mean, not my father, my mother. My father died way back in 30 years ago, 5 years ago, Travis. But I'm not, see, and y'all young ladies and guys, don't think that your parents and grandparents and people like me, I don't know how old you think I am, but I'm still young. I'm not an old man, you know. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to rebel against God. When God asks you to honor your mother and father, and you don't, you're in rebellion to the Lord. I mean, you're just saying, God, you don't know what you don't know. I know more what I want than you. My parents are this, and my parents are there. Teresa used to think I was stupid making decisions. She was bad room. After I got saved. But it was backwards. She run the house. I told her, I said, you know what, you're just like your mama. They both changed and transformed now. Ain't that what most of them say? You're just like your mama. I tell Travis, he has somewhat ways like his mama sometimes. And so I'll tell him at work, I'll say, okay, Teresa. Okay, little Teresa. What am I saying? You're just like your mama. You know? But how many knows when it comes to God, we're supposed to be like God? We're supposed to have his nature. And so y'all young teenagers, don't try to fit in school. Let the Lord line you up. You don't fit in, don't get sad, don't start worrying, don't get all upset, just keep doing good, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, he wants to sidetrack you in life. He wants to sidetrack us adults in life. It's not just teenagers, he's the same devil with the same tricks. He just uses them different ways however he can on each one of us. But worry don't generate anything good. It don't pay no bills. It don't help your marriage. Well, the bull showed up. Sitting there yesterday, and I'm going to close. I didn't realize I didn't mean to, well, did an extra song. Sitting there, and this guy says, he's saying, well, we're eating breakfast yesterday morning, a few of us. He's saying, well, you know, we got to have knowledge, and we got to have an end time, and, you know, what's going to happen, and all of that stuff. You know, I know a lot about end time, but I'm not called to preach it. I'm not an end time prophet. I mean, I know a lot. I know he's coming back. I know the trumpet's going to sound. I know that Jesus is going to step out, send his clouds down, his angels down here on the clouds of glory. We're going to be raptured out of here. And I don't know if it's going to be before, mid, or whenever trib. It don't matter. But all I know, he's coming back, and I'm going to be ready. I'm looking for him anytime. So anyhow, he's saying all of that, you know, and talking about trouble. I said, oh, man, listen to me. We're sitting in the restaurant. I said, listen to me. Now, they said I got a little excited and loud. I don't know. I wasn't paying no attention. I said, listen to me. I said, have you done forgot what Reverend R.W. Schaumbach told us back down yonder when we didn't know nothing? You ain't got no trouble. All you need is faith in God. I said, we ain't got no trouble. We got faith in God. He went, what can you say to that? Don't take a lot of bickering there, man. Just, hey. You know. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know what, praise God. God. Then I stopped. I thought, I'm not giving y'all nothing else. If you don't want knowledge, God won't be bothering you. But I told him he was talking about knowledge. I said, knowledge is no good unless you let the Holy Spirit in your life. Satan knows that Bible. Satan quotes that Bible to me. He quoted it to Jesus. I said, you know what? And I'm not just telling a story. I mean, I'm thinking, man, we got to have a relationship with Jesus. Because you can read that Bible, and that Bible is written word. But when you are seeking the Lord, and like Teresa, thank God for that, because me and her were very prideful people. I wouldn't open the door for you. I expect you to open it for me, man. I remember when I heard a sermon, open the door for your wife, you know, and I thought, I'm not a candy. That's stupid, man. Walk all the way around that car and open a door? How dumb is that, man? She can open it herself. I mean, you know. And the Lord said, what's your problem? And I said, well, she'll get lazy. You know. But I did there for a little season, you know, a few times. Walked around there and opened the door, let my honey out, you know. And then I thought, well, I did it. That's enough. 3 times. Praise God. I'm humble enough to do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, I mean, just like that, we got to work on because a unified family is a powerful family. I mean, if you're in unity with one another, and you got your kids in unity with you, kids in unity with one another. I mean, just yesterday, and I'm gonna close with this. Just yesterday, Aubrey walks out to me and she said, "Papa, can I ride the pink go-kart?" And I said, "Sure, go ride the pink go-kart." Aiden walks over there right behind her and he says, "Papa, can I ride the pink go-kart?" And I said, "You can ride with Aubrey on the pink go-kart." Well, he outruns her to the go-kart and he gets in the driver's seat. And then he cranks it up, you know. And I told Aubrey, I said, "Go tell him to get out of there and get on the other side." So anyhow, he backs out and make him get in the other side, and he's sitting there and he's like a possum. You know. And I said, "You might ought to buckle up since you're not secure here." And I took that and I rubbed it under his nose. I said, "I told you could ride with her, not drive. Now be happy. Just be happy riding. Buckle up." Well, went on a little bit, and then Travis going to tell him to get out. And I said, nah, he ain't getting out. He's telling her how to drive, screaming at her. Aubrey, you're gonna hit the ditch. Aubrey, watch the tree. She ain't hit none of that. And so I thought, no, he's not going to get out. So I walked up there to him, and I said, hey, don't get out. I said, you stay in there. I said, stop telling her how to drive. That's pride in a five-year-old. She ain't hit nothing with him, throwed him out of the go-kart, right? You think pride can't work? It starts young. And it divides. It's dividing the brother and sister. You know? He thinks he's smarter than she is. He thinks he knows everything. You know? She went through that stage, and I finally told her, she said, I know everything, Papa. I said, you don't even know what you're saying. You know nothing. You don't know everything. And I asked her a question about a number or something. I said, I thought you knowed everything, see? You got to stop believing you know everything because you don't. Well, if these kids think it, I think I know everything too sometimes. But I don't. So I want to encourage you. Don't worry. I can't help it. That's like Satan talking to you. He tells you you can't. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got to come back with that Bible and say, I'm not going to worry about my life. I'm not going to worry about my marriage. I'm not going to worry about if they get healed or not. I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm going to cast these things over on the Lord, and I'm going to believe to see God's goodness in the land of the living, according to Psalms 27. I'm believing God that my house will be paid off. He'll increase me. So you can bring an offering to the house of the Lord, and you can give it to the Lord, and He'll increase you. Give and it shall be given. Father, we just pray. Let's bow our heads.